Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Well, coming up in a half an hour, the gentleman who drafted Joe Flacco and then decided to move on from Joe Flacco will be joining us. Former Ravens executive Ozzie Newsome. Officially, I think the title is still executive vice president, but he's no longer general manager of the Baltimore Ravens. But you think of Ozzie as the guy who put together all of those great Ravens teams that could have been great Browns teams. We're not going to dwell on that with Ozzie. By the way, Dan, Packer fans walking by right now, just so you know. We're not going to dwell on that with Ozzie.
Hey, wait, isn't there a way to say it? Special Packer fan language?
It's called Tell Your Folks I Says Hi.
Some reach out and have some cheese curds. Somebody had me try a baked cheese curd the other day.
Oh, they're good.
I wasn't a big fan.
Really?
Ozzie's going to join us coming up at 11:30. Free agency has been going strong in the NFL. Teams have been making trades. Teams have been signing guys. Teams have been losing guys. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wonder if you take a look at the division right now, is there a team that, in your estimation, AB, jumped out and really helped itself? Or is a team that really got hurt? And I'll give you my thought real quick on it. I can't really tell yet. Because some teams have done some big things and have also lost some things. And I think you could make a case that every team got a little better, but teams also kind of lost some things.
So to back up what you're saying, if you go look at Pro Football Focus and they sized up all the AFC teams,
yeah.
Every letter grade for the AFC North, B. So there were two B pluses in there. But Baltimore and the Browns were B, straight Bs. And then Pittsburgh and Cincinnati were B pluses. I don't know that you can read into it today. I do think, though, when it's all said and done, Pittsburgh has the most to gain or lose.
Because of their quarterback,
situation. So, you know, when I kind of was like, I'm sizing this up, I'm trying to figure this out, and I'm like, you know, if Justin Fields ends up being the quarterback in Pittsburgh for a couple years, when this is all said and done, that maybe perhaps Pittsburgh could be the big winner. But there's just so many question marks and so many variables between all four teams that I thought Pro Football Focus got it right. When you look at it, that I think the AFC North kind of moved in unison towards the good, which is a B, right? So Cincinnati, I thought Cincinnati was surprising too when they gave Cincinnati a B plus, but when you go back and look and see what they were able to do, that you can kind of understand that and get it. But no one completely, you know, jumped off the page. And maybe just franchise tagging T. Higgins makes all the difference in the world for the Bengals.
There's a guy in a Ravens thing right here. Oh, yeah. He says he gives us an oh yeah. We're going to have Ozzie Newsome on our show in a half an hour.
So you can stand,
here and listen and worship. Yeah, yes. He's not going to be here in person.
No.
Just look at the speaker. You'll hear Ozzie's voice.
Yes.
Nice to have you here in town despite the fact that you're from Baltimore. No, we're not going to get into that.
Why don't you go down to the room where he's not? Yeah. Knock yourself out.
Bob Irsay should be right here. Is that what you're saying? Oh, I just got the look.
That's all right.
Thank you, sir. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, you may have to save us.
Ozzie Newsome's coming up. Now we got people yelling at us.
Okay, this
we're not going
Modell
and Irsay here, everybody. Both guys ripped teams out of towns that didn't need to have teams ripped out of. There you go. Done.
Fair enough.
That's
long
fair.
Live the Baltimore
that's,
Colts.
There
here
you
we
go.
Okay.
At least they're not both in Ravens things. He's wearing his Terps thing. That's cool. Good for Maryland. Stephon Diggs all the way, baby.
So I drove all the way to Canton, and I got in a fight with the Browns fans at the Hall of Fame. That was great.
That was really nice. You know the team that I think in the division, if there's a team that has to regroup after free agency, and I think they will, it's the Baltimore Ravens. I think they lost some serious talent, and not necessarily like, okay, these guys were absolute beasts for them, but Gus Edwards goes to the Chargers. J.K.
Right.
Dobbins is still a free agent, even though he's been injured. They had Dalvin Cook and Melvin Gordon, so they're redoing their running backs. But guess what?
But
they brought in Derrick Henry.
Yeah. So.
And Keaton Mitchell's a terrific young back, so they're going to be just fine there. You lost Odell. Okay, not a big deal. But you lost Kevin Zeitler, the former Brown, the former Bengal. He leaves, starter on the offensive line. Clowney was good for them. He's still a free agent. You lost Patrick Queen, and he signs with Pittsburgh.
Right.
And you lost Geno Stone, and he signs with Cincinnati. So Ozzie's team, I think, has some work to do. And guess what? I'm sure they'll be just fine because they always are. It's a great organization that Ozzie put together there. And Eric DaCosta is now running it as the general manager. And you know, say what you want, they're great. They do a great job of making sure they're competitive year in, year out.
Zeitler ended up in Detroit, right?
Yeah, okay. Signed with the Lions.
So the Ravens, I do think, I mean, look, if Lamar Jackson gets hurt, they're light at quarterback. Maybe they end up drafting a quarterback this year. I don't know what they're going to do.
That's possible.
I guess you look at their depth
chart.
Tyler
Huntley, who was their backup to the Browns.
So we helped them out on that.
But they chose not to keep him anyway. I mean, they weren't going to bring him back, and the Browns signed him.
Sorry, man. I can't get over it. I thought things were going to get ugly.
Yeah, I know. He was getting ready to go.
Oh, you know
he was going to throw down.
You know who belongs in here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I
dropped the Bob Irsay on him. Was that good?
Oh, man.
Was that good? Poobah even chuckled on that one, I think.
I was like, my God, I think we're going to have a fight here in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I thought that might
I'm sure that argument happens quite a
I'm
bit.
Sure it does. I don't think the Browns have been significantly damaged in free agency by players they lost.
No, not at all.
And I think that they've supplemented things really well. And the interesting thing about it is, okay, you lost Nick Harris, who was a key backup guy.
Right.
But you drafted Luke Whipler last year to fill that exact same role.
So you knew it was coming.
You kind of knew it was coming. Jordan Elliott at defensive tackle. Okay, well, you brought back Jefferson. So that's, you know, so that works. I'm a little concerned about linebacker. Was that a problem for them? I don't know if it was or if it wasn't, but we'll see. But filling in at the linebacker spots, I just think the team that potentially could be damaged the most from losses is Baltimore. But I also think that they're more than capable of filling it, and I think they've already done part of it. Back in the studio, our buddy Jeff Thomas is sitting in front of a microphone. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello, boys. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
Hey, the Morning Boys had somebody special on their show today.
Yeah, this morning on the show, on the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima, starring Anthony Lima and Ken Carmen, they had Christopher McDonald, who is better known to all of us as Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore. Shooter! So he was on talking to the boys because there's a special night going on with the Monsters tomorrow night. It's golf night, and a part of it is a Shooter McGavin bobblehead. So he revealed a little big-time news in relation to himself and his bestest buddy, Adam Sandler.
Is Shooter McGavin, was it your favorite role?
I've had some favorite roles. I got to say it's top three.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a quick intel. I saw Adam about 2 weeks ago, and he says, McDonald, you're going to love this. I said, what? How about that? He took some shows in the first draft of Happy Gilmore 2.
Ooh.
I said, I'm like,
God.
Yeah, so, but, you know, I guess maybe you should cut that out because I don't want to be a liar, but
no.
He did show me that, and I thought, wow, that would be awesome. So it's in the works. Fans demand it, damn it. So, and Adam's just, you know, killing it out there. As you know, I saw his latest Netflix comedy show. I was laughing everything was in tears. He's so freaking funny. So we had a great time, and then when I saw that, I was very, very pleased.
So. Right, so apparently there's the chance in the near future of a Happy Gilmore 2. Boys, Jeff, your thoughts.
Let me ask you. I wonder, maybe senior tour for Happy Gilmore and Shooter McGavin? That would be fine. What I hope it isn't is Happy has a son and Shooter has a son. Don't do that.
Here's the problem I have with this. All right, so the original came out back in 96.
Yeah.
Even if this is fast-tracked, it's not going to come out till next year. That's nearly 40 years since the original. This is not a movie screaming for a sequel. And also throwing Carl Weathers, unfortunately, is gone. He's not with us anymore. Chubbs is gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I know one of other claims of fame for Christopher McDonald, sadly, is being in Grease 2, and he wants to do other things to make us forget about that. I don't want to see Happy Gilmore 2. I'm sorry. There's no reason to it.
Don't you think if anybody could pull it off and actually make it work, it might be Adam Sandler?
No. They're filming, as we speak, Spinal Tap 2. And I love everyone involved in that movie. There's no reason for that either. All right, there are no original ideas left in Hollywood. This is proving that again.
No. Hey, let me throw this idea at you. What if they use Michael B. Jordan as...
Oh, stop it. Stop.
Oh, you don't even like where I'm going with this?
No, I know where you're going. Knock it off.
I mean, if he was Apollo Creed's son, why couldn't he?
No.
Right?
No. You're just tarnishing the image of Chubbs.
I think it's a good idea.
Because it's all in the hips. It's all in the hips. It's all in the hips. Only Carl Weathers can give you that line.
Doesn't Chris play weasels really well?
Oh, he's very skilled at it. I'm glad he's not like that in real life, thankfully.
Shooter McGavin was one of the biggest weasels in sports movie history.
I'm just trying to think.
That guy was great.
He
was on an episode
longer than
of Law and Order, and he played a weasel.
It's a skill.
Oh, Grease 2. That was where I remember him from. He's been in some pretty bad movies.
You
too.
Saw Grease 2?
Yeah, of course I did.
It's what I You're told you, me. Grease 2.
Yeah.
Jeff already mentioned it, but I actually saw it?
Yes, I saw it.
Michelle Pfeiffer in the black leather. That was about the only redeeming quality of Grease 2. Well,
for some, I don't know why, but my wife loves that movie, so I've been
Grease
forced
2?
To watch. Yes, I don't know why. So I've seen it more than once. Yes, Michelle Pfeiffer does make it bearable, but not much. It's a painful movie.
You know who was supposed to play Sandy in Grease 1?
Here we go.
Marie Osmond.
I think they made the right choice.
She turned it down because of kind of religious reasons and some of the spicier moments in Greece.
Hmm. There you go, Jeff Phelps.
Poobah's looking at me. Can't believe he's
movie
that's
buff.
True. You can turn up your microphone, Poobah.
Dirty work.
As a guy who's always had the hots for Marie Osmond and always tried to see her in Salt Lake City when I was
Sandy.
Out playing basketball, never did. I was crushed. Crushed. Ozzie Newsome, Browns Hall of Famer, Ravens executive, going to join us next. Jeffrey, thank you very much. We appreciate all the Shooter McGavin insight.
He's our boy, Shooter.
It's Baskin and Phelps on the Fan. It's Baskin and Phelps on the road, not just on the road, in the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's a legacy unleashed. An exhibit celebrating the orange and brown. And every Cleveland Brown here in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, their bust has been removed from the normal display area, and they're right across from us. And folks have been walking by and taking a look and thinking, wow, they moved these out here for you guys, huh? Let's just go with that, shall we?
No, it's the way you kind of enter into this whole Browns area.
It's really cool.
I thought the other interesting thing in the Browns Unleashed area is you remember it was Tony Dick that worked for the Browns that went and found the championship trophy the team made for themselves in 64.
Yeah.
Right? And there was a minority owner that had it. And this unbelievable story of how they were able to bring it back. But I never realized, and I was talking to Poobah, he didn't realize this either, that the NFL awarded the traveling Ed Thorpe Memorial Trophy to the winner of the NFL championship game until 1967. And the Packers had it, but I think the Vikings should have had it because the Packers never gave it to him. But I thought it was interesting that the predecessor to the Lombardi Trophy had every team that had won a championship on it engraved on the trophy like the Stanley
like
Cup.
Like the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I just thought that was fascinating. And so now that's also here, and that's on loan from, I believe you said it was on loan from the Packers. So there's just really cool, like, Browns history in there that maybe most of us don't even think about or just take into consideration. It's so worth seeing. So worth it.
Ozzie Newsome, former Browns tight end, of course, Hall of Famer because of that. Probably a future Hall of Famer because of his front office work with the Baltimore Ravens, joining us coming up in about 5 minutes. Frank is in Kent. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Andy and Jeff. How's it going, huh?
Good. How are you, bud?
Now, may I suggest when the show's over, both of you head down 77 to West Tusk and go to Lindsay's Restaurant, one of the finest eating places in Canton.
Which place?
Lindsay's Restaurant on West Tuscararas.
Okay.
At 77.
Okay. Thanks, Frank. We need a restaurant tip. Do you have anything for Ozzie?
Well, I know you made it clear you didn't want to dwell on the history of Ozzie and Modell moving the Browns, and that's fine. You can't take away from what Ozzie did, his performance as a Cleveland Brown.
I don't think anybody thinks Ozzie moved the team.
Yeah, Ozzie didn't have anything to do with it. He was just a guy who got a job.
Yeah.
So I know he wasn't involved in that whole thing, but many of the fans, me included, feel, Ozzie, you went there with Modell. And let's be honest, I respect Mr. Newsome and what he accomplished, but some of that is tarnished now with him with the Browns there on what he did with Modell, to be quite clear about it.
I don't know. Jeff, I don't know how you feel about it. Look, I think Ozzie found himself in a situation where he had the opportunity to be a general manager when people of color were not getting the opportunity.
And he's the first African-American.
I mean, you want to talk about
general manager.
Yes, I mean, breaking through glass ceilings, he did that, and so I that's bigger than him going to another. He had the opportunity to do it. I can't ever look at Ozzie that way.
Oh, no.
in a negative light.
Hey,
and I can't. And I'll,
Ozzie was a guy who wanted to be a front office guy, and he was offered an opportunity,
and he should have been here.
Well,
right?
I mean, he could have been here. He would have been here, but it's not the way we know it worked out.
Yeah, let's be.
Let's be just real honest about that. And
I mean, I understand the bitterness about the whole move because we lived it, and I'm bitter about it still, but I will never, ever, ever hold anything against Ozzie.
Oh, he was just a guy who's a guy who wanted to be in the front office.
And was one of my favorite players.
I
let that go either. So,
well, I had the pleasure of covering Ozzie for about the last 4 years of his career when he was with the Browns. Complete gentleman, and certainly that sense. And I hate to say it, but a damn good general manager.
I was jealous the whole time.
Well, I was too. That it's like, wait a minute, look how good this guy is, and he was ours. You know, he was a Cleveland Brown. Not only that, he was working in the Browns front office. You know, he did scouting. He was on the coaching staff. He got a very well-rounded education in it by working for Art Modell and with Bill Belichick.
And Nick Saban
and Kirk Ferentz. And you want to go on and on and on. They had a great staff. There's no question about that. And it paid off for Ozzie. And it paid off for the folks in Baltimore because they have the type of organization, Andy, that I think kind of like the Steelers. You know, I think the Browns are in a division – with two teams who do it the way that I love to have it done, which is we're trying to sustain this. You know, we're not just going to try and get hot. We're gonna go and you know, we're not going to have a 2 or 3 year run. We're hoping to do this forever. And I think that Baltimore has certainly been able to do that, and I think Pittsburgh has been able to do that. And Baltimore with even greater success. Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's a former Browns tight end. His bust here at the Hall of Fame is staring right at us. Ozzie, just so you know, the busts have all been moved out right in front of where we are. You're in the middle of the bottom row. You're staring right at us. It's Ozzie Newsome, former Browns tight end, former Ravens executive. Hi, Ozzie. How are you? Jeff Phelps here, Andy Baskett, my partner.
Hi, Ozzie.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Good morning.
Good morning, Ozzie. Good to have you with us. We appreciate that very much. First of all, congratulations on everything you've accomplished. Let's just get that out of the way. And second of all, congratulations on a great organization that you were critical in building in Baltimore. And we're not going to thank you for that. but you did a great job, Ozzie. How difficult was the transition to go from player, and let's forget about the move in this situation, to go from player to front office executive and to hit it out of the park like you did?
Well, I think it all begun that relationship that I had with Mr. Modell. And he had offered me the opportunity to stay with the organization just at Calvin and Paul Warfield had stayed within the organization. So upon retiring, I was going to retire earlier after the 89 season, but I thought, you know, after we made that run to the playoffs, AFC championship game, that maybe we had a chance to, you know, to get to the Super Bowl the next year. So I played that additional year in 90, and of course it didn't work out as well as we all thought. So at that time, it was time to retire, and I knew I was going to be accepting an opportunity to stay and work for the Browns. Ernie, of course, he was the GM at that time, and we hired a man by the name of Bill Belichick to come in to be the head coach. And I met with Bill, and our relationship started to build, and I would have to give Bill a lot of the credit for the success that I've had off the field, and that work with him those first 5 years. I know the wins and the losses wasn't what we wanted them to be, but I learned so much from working with Bill. And then when it came time for the move, Mr. Modell asked me if I wanted to be a coach or did I want to stay in personnel. I told him I felt better in personnel, and at that point he elevated me to the director of player personnel when he fired Bill and Mike.
I think back in some of the documentaries we've seen about the guys that were in the room and the fact that, you know, Nick Saban and Bill both retired this year. Like, your thoughts on that and just what was that like? I mean, you had Ozzie, we're talking about some of the greatest minds in the history of this game all in the same room. And I don't know if you did you even have any idea that that was happening while you were in the moment?
No, but, you know, you saw the preparation. You saw the hard work. You saw how they was able to push each other. And you also, you saw their football acumen, you know. They were all football junkies. And you talk about Pat Hill and Kirk Ferentz, and then Jimmy Schwartz, Aaron Mangini, Scott Pioli. I mean, Phil Savage, George Kokainis. I mean, it was unbelievable. But, you know, Bill had established it by who he hired. And he hired people that had a passion for football that, you know, was not coming to work to look at what time it was. It was all about getting the work done. And I think that propelled all of us to the success that we had, you know, once we all separated ourselves. But being there with Nick and, you know, and him patting his feet and getting all nervous, you know, in a meeting. But you just, you know, you just came to appreciate, don't overuse the word passion, but the passion that they had for the game and the work ethic. And you could see why all of those guys that I've named, including Kirk and Pat Hill, had success once they became head coaches.
Ozzie Newsome joining us, Browns Hall of Fame tight end, former GM of the Baltimore Ravens, now executive vice president in Baltimore. Ozzie, the Ravens are one of five teams to make at least 10 playoff appearances in the last 15 years. And that's the type of organization that you built there from a football standpoint. When you became the GM of the team, did you have a blueprint in mind? And I just mentioned to Andy, you know, the Browns are in a division with the Ravens and the Steelers, two teams every year you guys compete. Was there a blueprint that you wanted to follow?
Well, I guess it began with playing for Coach Bryant at Alabama and what he instilled in us while we were players. And then it continued on, you know, with Sam, with Marty, and with Bud. And then, of course, being around Bill is that, you know, when you start to build a team, if you find people that have a passion for the game, that loves the game, and then you get a good athlete, you know, if you put those two ingredients together, then you got a chance. But yeah, you also can't be afraid to hire really, really good, competent people, you know, and get them in the building and then let them do their job. So I think those have been the blueprints. You know, we've only had three coaches in Baltimore, Ted, Brian, and John. Then two GMs with Eric and I. And so I think that continuity, but that understanding that if you have a passion and a love for the game, then it's not a job. It's something that you enjoy to do. It becomes a hobby.
I think I want to get something made for my desk that says there's no clock if you love what you're doing. I never thought about it until you just said that.
That's
a great great thought.
Remember, if you do that, then that's on me. You know, that's mine going forward.
Hey, side business, Ozzie. You can start putting that on T-shirts.
God knows we have enough T-shirts in Cleveland for everything that we have.
That's true.
I'm curious your thoughts on Joe Flacco and what he was able to do for the Browns this year, knowing, and Jeff and I were talking about it before the show, that you were the man that brought him into Baltimore, and to watch his career just come back to life here. And I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
Well, Joe already had was accurate, and he had poise. And I think those are the two things that you need when you're going to play the quarterback position. If you got poise in the pocket and you're accurate, you know, you can have arm strength or no arm strength. You can, you know, be a good athlete moving in and out of the pocket. But if you got poise and you got accuracy, then you got a chance. And Joe had that, you know. And Joe just, you know, he never got hit a lot in his playing career, but his arm could last the test of time, you know. And he went into a great situation in Cleveland. He became a common influence because he had been through so much, you know. And then when he came in and he stepped in that huddle, I think he gave in all the other 10 guys a lot of confidence. And what he was doing after they had went through the several quarterbacks they went through because of injuries when Deshaun got hurt. So, it's something that Joe is that, you know, he's always been unflappable. And to a point that you sometimes use that against him, but it was such a great strength. And I was not surprised what he did, you know, developing that chemistry with the receiver from Alabama. Can't think of his name right now, but it'll get there. Cooper.
Amari Cooper?
Amari.
Yeah. I was not surprised because we saw what he had did the year before when he had gotten the opportunities at other places. But, yeah, I mean, Joe is one of those guys that because of stature, because of the poise he has in the pocket and because his arm is may not be 100% what he was when we drafted him, but I bet it's between 80 and 85.
Yeah, he slung it pretty well. There's no question about that. But, Ozzy, you drafted Joe, and then you decided to move on from Joe. And if you're able to talk about this, great. And if not, I understand. You guys took Lamar Jackson with a 32nd pick in the draft in 2018, and you traded up to get him. You traded up to get that pick, and you jumped in. I'm wondering a couple of things. Did you try and trade up higher to get him? Did he just happen to fall to you and you kind of liked him? Because that was the draft with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen. And I've always wondered, Ozzy, let's just say the Ravens had the first pick in the draft. Would Lamar have been your guy?
No, if we'd had the first pick, he would not have been the guy. I think Baker would have been the guy. I think the way we had the first quarterback, I don't know. I can't think back to who the other position players, but I think Baker was the highest rated quarterback in that draft for us. And no, I mean, as you know, we saw how the draft was transpiring, and we had signed Joe to a huge deal. I think we had made him the highest paid player after he went on that great Super Bowl run and won the Super Bowl. You know, his contract was up, and you know, we compensated him, so we had him. But you know, we were going to a time that, you know, we felt like the game was evolving from that, and our scouts were really, really high on Lamar. And I never forget, I was sitting in my office watching tape one day, and Eric DaCosta came in, who's now the GM, and he goes, "I got to show you a play." He does that all the time to me. You need to see this one play. And it was a play against North Carolina where Lamar stood in the pocket and hit a dime on a post down the middle of the field. And he goes, "This guy has ability." And I agree. So we got in the draft, and of course we took a tight end with the first pick. I mean, you know why we did that.
Good move.
So we're sitting there, and, you know, 28 and 29, Eric, he goes, "I think Philadelphia wants to move out. Why don't you give Howie a call?" So I call Howie, and he goes, "Yeah, we're highly interested in moving out." And Lamar was just standing out how high he was on the board as opposed to everybody else. And John had left the office, and Steve had left the draft room because we had made the pick. And Steve had left, and so Eric and I, we were in there talking, and we could get it done. And I said, I made the call with Howie because we had some additional second and third round picks in that draft and the next year's draft that would give us the ammunition to go up to get Lamar. And when he made it to the 32nd pick, and I called Howie, and he was very interested, and he fleeced me a little bit on the trade. But, you know, we made the trade, and I was finalizing the trade when Eric made the call to Lamar, and John was not in the draft room. John had went to his office, you know, to start to get prepared for the second round, and they summoned John back in. He goes, "Well, what are y'all doing?" They said, "We're drafting Lamar," and you could just see the excitement on he and Steve's face. And I will say this, and we've drafted a lot of players in Baltimore, but when we turned that card, I never seen a building get so excited. The whole building erupted when we made that pick on Lamar, and to this point, he has not disappointed any of us.
Yeah, a couple of MVPs, Ozzy. A transcendent talent. And did you actually think? Because a lot of teams wanted him to play wide receiver, and he said, "I'm not going to do that. I'm a quarterback." You guys saw that in him. Has he surprised you at all with what he's accomplished in the league as the quarterback of the Ravens?
Has he exceeded our expectations? Yeah. I mean, when we drafted him, did we think we was getting a two-time MVP in the first, what, 6-7 years? No. You know, but we know he was a great player, he was a great person, and he was a great leader. Those were the things. And, you know, and he was a guy that because of his ability that he was going to create problems for the defense. And so we did it, and I wish I could tell you exactly how it happened, but I'm going to keep that between John and I and our old trainer as to, because John was ready to make the decision about going from him to Joe, and then an incident happened. I can't talk about it. And then all the next thing you know, Lamar's our quarterback. Everything was positive in that situation. And so, and then, like I say, hey, it happened. And then you give Greg Roman a lot of credit that he tailored the offense to Lamar. And then now Todd has come in and taken it to another step, you know, and T. Martin is his quarterback coach, who's a guy that's been a successful coach, a successful player, and then a successful coach in the college level. Is now his quarterback coach. So, you know, things have just worked out. The stars have been aligned with Lamar since he's gotten to Baltimore.
Ozzie, I just want to catch up on just, like, what's going on with the AFC North now. How difficult would it be to be a general manager in the AFC North now? Because it feels like the North is so close, like it's just one player here or an injury here that could make a difference between winning it, when you go back and look at the fact that all four teams were over 500 and the level of competition with those four teams is just through the roof. And I'm just curious, if you were in that position now, if it would be harder than it was when you were doing it before.
Well, you know, I'm not the GM, but I'm still very much involved.
Right.
But, you know, the AFC North has been a tough conference from way back when we changed from the AFC Central, when we had Tennessee and Jacksonville in it. It's always been, you know, a tough conference, always tough defense. You know, stop the run and hit the quarterback. So it had always been that way. But the difference now is every team's got a quarterback that I think been to a Pro Bowl. Russell Wilson's been to a Pro Bowl. Deshaun has been to a Pro Bowl. Joe Burrow's been to a Pro Bowl.
Yep.
And you got Lamar. So when you got four quarterbacks like that, then that's what makes the division so tough. I mean, you know, when it's okay when you play subpar quarterback, but we don't have a subpar quarterback in our division right now, which is going to make it tough, and it's probably three teams going to make the playoffs again this year.
Ozzie Newsome joining us, Browns Hall of Fame tight end. We're looking at his Hall of Fame bust right across from us here. We're at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And Ozzie, Executive Vice President of the Baltimore Ravens. Ozzie, the Ravens organization obviously has had a ton of success. You're critical in that. You're also critical in some of the best years in Browns history. From a personal standpoint, has it been tough as a professional working in Baltimore, knowing, you know, the history of the Browns moving to Baltimore, while also competing against the team that you loved and trying to beat them twice a year and beat them out in the division? Because I know how much you love being a Brown, but I also know how good you are at doing the job you're doing now. How difficult is that from a personal standpoint?
It is, because I treasured those years that I was a player. I mean, I don't know at that point that there were any better fan base than it was with the Cleveland Browns fan and the Dog Pound, started by Frank and Hanford. And then the success we had in the late 80s of going to the AFC Championship game. So that was a unique passion about those fans and that city about the Cleveland Browns that I think is unmatched. And so, yeah, I mean, that part of me will never dissolve itself. But, you know, in the move to Baltimore, it was, hey, I got a job to do. And I treated, you know, being a personnel executive just like I treated being a player. I wanted to be the best at what I was given, God-given ability to do. And that's what I've tried to do in Baltimore. So, you know, we go to Cleveland every year. You know, we fly into Hopkins and just all kinds of memories of, you know, being in Berea, living downtown, living in Bradnall, living in Orange. You know, I know all of the interstates and Euclid and Chester and all. I mean, all of that was such a big part of my life. And then I had to, you know, with the move to Baltimore, to move and then to change. And I don't regret having taken that opportunity to go to Baltimore, but I still have an unbelievable feeling about those 13 years as a player and 5 years as a coach executive in Cleveland that helped me to be the person that I am today.
I would think that when you come back here, people see, I mean, I know you spent all these years in Baltimore, but like when I see you, you will always be, you know, one of my favorite tight ends of all time. And I wonder how Browns fans see you when you come in, you know, at least once
a
year.
They do. they see me, and you know, I'll see number 82 jerseys in the stands when I'm there. So yeah, I mean, they still respect the Ozzie Newsome, the football player, and I know, and I think, you know what, they applaud my ability, what we've done in Baltimore. You know, they wish, I mean, I've told several times, wish it could have happened in Cleveland that way, but it didn't. It's happening in Baltimore. But, you know, I think the respect is still there. I always enjoy the visit going there. And John always tells me when we get on the bus, this is the best ride that you ever take when we beat Cleveland, when you go back. And I go, coaches, right up there at the top. Then when we beat Pittsburgh, when I'm driving back to the airport from Pittsburgh, from Three Rivers or whatever them stadium's name now.
Ozzie Newsome joining us, former Browns tight end, Ravens executive vice president, former Ravens GM. You talked about the Pro Bowl quarterbacks in the AFC North, Ozzie.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Cleveland, obviously, the Browns have tied themselves to Deshaun Watson and hoping that Deshaun can become the quarterback he was. From this standpoint, tell me, he's played 12 games since 2020. How difficult is that for a quarterback to have basically 3 years where it hasn't clicked? You haven't been out there. You haven't been healthy in some instances. 12 games in 3 years. Do you think he can find it again and become the quarterback that he was in Houston?
Well, I have two reasons to say yes. You know, Deshaun is a good athlete. Good athletes play for a long time. They don't lose their athletic ability, and he gets smarter and better with his knowledge of the game each year that he plays. The other aspect of it, the last game he played was against us, and he won the game. Mm-hmm. You know, he won it with his feet. He won it with his arm. You know, so, you know, yeah, he can be a real good quarterback in the National Football League based on those – on his athletic ability and his arm talent. But then also, Andrew has done a very good job of surrounding him with some receivers. They just got Jerry Jeudy. They got a real good offensive line. And if they get that running back, then, you know, they'll be tough to handle. They're very tough to handle. So, no, I got a lot of confidence. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Deshaun because I actually saw it in our own stadium. And he was playing with a hurt ankle, I think. It was a hurt ankle? Was it a hurt ankle that he played the second half with?
Yes.
So you saw a toughness and a competitor in him. So the work is cut out for him, and I think Cleveland should be proud that they have Deshaun.
Ozzie, I'm just going to say this as kind of last question. We're staring at your bust, like Jeff said, about five or six times.
All Browns bust, Ozzie, have been moved out of the gallery, and they're staring at us right now, and it's real intimidating.
And so we're looking at you. I'm wondering what went through your mind the first time
No. The one is Jim Brown. That's the one that intimidates everybody. You know, the rest of us are just in there, but, you know, it's the Jim Brown bust. That's the one that gets you more intimidated.
Well, now that's true, too. Ozzie, we can't thank you enough for being with us.
Thank you, Ozzie.
It was a pleasure to cover you when you were here, and it's been a pleasure to watch what you've done in Baltimore, despite the fact that you're in the AFC North. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and I look forward to coming back to Ken for that whole month that we're celebrating the Browns. I'm looking forward to Joe DeLamalier and I'll be there for a day, so that'll be fun also.
Awesome. That'll be a great trip back. Thank you, Ozzie. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thanks, okay. Ozzie.
Bye-bye.
Ozzie Newsome joining us on the North mm-hmm. Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.